that I know is there for you, and we've prepared it for you. Once again, thank you. Thank you for all that you do to help us to have church. Amen?
Amen.
I've got a great word for you tonight. I'm preaching a series. If you would turn to John chapter 15, we're going to begin at verse 1. And I have got my Try To series that we've started. I don't know how long it'll be. The first message was try to hold on to your peace. And before that, try to not be a doubting Thomas. And tonight's message is starting with John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the vine keeper. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are you purged through the word which I have spoken unto you? Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Praise God. We're going to read more from right there. But thank you, Father, for this word. Help everybody to be open to the word. And I'm preaching a message. Try to abide in the vine. Now, this is what I have found with every one of these try to's, is that there's days that all of us do better than other days in our try to's. There really is. That's the truth of it. I think that we want to preach a gospel to you that's attainable, that you will understand, and just do your best. Your best is good enough. Just try to remain in the vine. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch can bear no fruit by itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. Every day, if we wake up, if we realize God wants us to abide or live in him. And it's, you don't have to be a religious person to do that. You have to be an interested person, interested in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the born-again experience, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's becoming a new creation. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. And my thought is just try to do the best you can every day and try to make yourself be interested in your own salvation. Try to make yourself and try to let God know that you love him and that you appreciate him. Abide in me, I'm in verse 4, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. We have to abide in him. What does that mean? You want to talk to him first thing in the morning. You want to talk to God. You want to present yourself. You want to have somewhere where you start. Me and Millie use a devotional every morning without fail. And that's where we start our day. We say good morning to the Father. We make a confession that he's our Father. We are his children. We say, Father, into your hands we commit our spirit. We just commit our lives to you today. You have a right to do whatever you want with us, because we give you that right. That's the way we want it. That's the way we feel best. That's the way we understand salvation, what it means to work out your salvation. It's to talk with God and walk with God and let him change you a day at a time. And you know what? I'm going to say this. If communion is anything, it's for the believer, and it's about forgiveness. And I'm going to say this, and I mean this. Let God, everybody look at me for a minute. Let God forgive you. Let God forgive you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to, you know what? Through forgiveness, he gets deeper into your heart and he changes your life from the inside out. Many years ago, Tommy asked me, Pastor, you remember that question? What is it? Should I cut my hair? You know what I told him? No. Because see, Tommy, and I'm not being facetious. He had a lot of hair then. He was the handsomest Mel Gibson I've ever seen in my whole freaking life. I mean, I'm just telling you. I said, no, because Tommy, God wants to change you from the inside out. And I say respectfully to everybody in here and with much love, God wants to change you from the inside out. And communion is about forgiveness. And here we receive his forgiveness as we need it. It was a sad thing to me in 1971 in the summertime when I got saved that I found I could still sin. And I confessed to people. I was only 19 years old when I got saved. I did some of my best sinning after I got saved. That's just the truth. But through that and through just being honest with God, see, I want to know what this is really all about. What in life, I asked myself, was worth living for? What was worth giving my life for and dying for? And for me, it's being a believer. And if that's not for you, it's okay. But this is an open communion. All you have to do is want to be communed, and we're going to commune you tonight. Amen? So think about that. Think about what it means. If any person, 2 Corinthians 5:17, is in Christ, he's, the exact translation says, he's becoming a new creation, really from the inside out, every day, okay? Old things are beginning to pass away. All things are beginning to be brand new inside of you. I would say if you've been born again for a year or so, you could agree with that, that even if you look back at your life a year ago, God is changing you from the inside out. He's not changing you by judging you or by religious jargon. He's changing you by the power of who God is. Psalm 24:1, the earth belongs to God and the fullness thereof, and everybody that dwells therein, whether they want to be saved or not, whether they're saved or not, it's all God's. Now, so when I read also in Hebrews 9, that is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, I can reckon with that. It is. I'm dealing with somebody that can pull my cork at any time, that can stop my light whenever he wants to. And if I be honest with him, and if I let him, I can live out my full life as many days as he has. David said something like this, Lord, you have all my times in you, all my times. To everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And God has allotted days for each and every one of us. And they're all a little bit different. Some people in some countries, they're called to be martyrs, okay? But in this country, we don't have to have as many martyrs. But if you give your life to the Lord, and let me say to you while you hear the word tonight, in Revelation 3:20, the word says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears me knocking, and if anybody, after hearing me knocking, will open up, I will come into them. God is no respecter of persons. He would like to save everybody. But he leaves that choice, believe it or not, to you. It's your choice. Moses, who set forth the old covenant, said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Choose you this day. Life and blessing or death and cursing, it's up to you. See, it's up. We're free moral agents. And when we say to ourselves and we begin to feel like more and more, I want to be a believer. I just want to be a believer. See, I just want to be a believer. Is anybody else like that in this room? Put your hand up if that's you. Well, we can. And he's got a very special, detailed plan for each of us. And it's a plan that is propagated by his great love, as he spoke in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God loved the world so much. He loved the world so much. There's a great significance in the Greek language that John 3, 16 and 17. He had a deep love that motivated him to sit down at the table with the devil and put his son up, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him, whoever would believe in Jesus would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, only God can give that. Nobody else can give us that. It's the best thing to have. And furthermore, in verse 17, Jesus says there, and the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world. See, this is not the condemning season. This is the grace season of life right now. We're in a time of grace, and you can do whatever you think you're big enough to do. And he's standing there. I see him at a dance. I have seen this for many years, just standing there. And he's waiting to see, and he wants to walk up to you and say, can I have this dance with you? Can I be in your life? That's what I'd like to do. And if you tell him to go away, of course, he's going to go away. That's up to us. I think he's a beautiful Savior, as we sang tonight. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Amen. The name of Jesus, our Savior. God was saying to mankind and to all of creation, I am very serious about saving my creation. He created us in Genesis chapter 1. He's very regretful and sad that we fell away under the power of the devil, and we're in a redeeming time. He had to take us out of the Garden of Eden, lest we should eat of the tree of life and live forever in an unsaved state. So he moved us out of there. But he didn't forget us. He loves us. And at the fullness of time, he sent his son Jesus. And he said, son, I want you to go. And I want you to save as many as will receive salvation. And when his earthly cousin, John the Baptist, saw him, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's who he was. That's who he's always been to us. That's how, well, no matter what anybody's told you, God is not mad at anybody. God loves everybody. God is interested in you. And as it says in Jeremiah 29:11-13, I know the plans that I have for you. They're good plans that give you a good future. And if when you seek me with all of your heart, verse 13, when you give it an honest effort, like what we've done with some relationships in this life, some addictions in this life, some things like that we like to do. I've had people tell me, well, fishing is my religion. Well, I am sorry. That's not going to work out when you die. We must all appear before the great white throne judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, before the throne of God. And the books were opened. And another book, the book of life, was opened. And everybody whose name was not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But first there were judged out of the books of your life what you did. All the time that deep in the crevices of your heart, where only he can see, you said no. Or all the times, if you're in here and you're saying yes, God notices. God is going to help you. There's nobody in here that he's going to judge today. But be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap bad things. You're going to reap death in the lake of fire. If you sow to the Spirit, that word sow means to plant. If you plant to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. And anybody can get saved and stay saved. It's a matter of what you really want. It's a matter if you really feel, does God exist to you? Is he real to you? Is he tugging at your heart's door and asking you if you want to take the next step? Well, he's not there to stop you. He's there to help you. He loves you. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. That's how come the title of this message is, try to stay hooked up with the vine. Try to do what the vine has got to have you. Does that make sense to you? Hook up with the vine. Stay with the vine. Well, I missed a couple of days. Well, just get back on course. We have a lifetime. God will not let anybody die until he sees where their heart is. And if you're going to get saved in 5 years, he won't let you die in that time period. Now, the devil might take your life. That's a different thing, but he won't. He loves people. He has the best intentions towards each and every one of us. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that lives in me, he that abideth. That means you don't just visit him every once in a while. You abide in him. You live in him. You say, Lord, I want you in my life forever. And I know what I'm asking. And I know I'll have bad days. And then I know I'll have good days. I'm just counting on your goodness and your power. I want to say to you, God has the power, if you want to be saved, to save you. God knows exactly how to save you. Nobody else really does. And we watch a lot of TV, my wife of 48 years and I, and we see all kinds of things. And I heard Maury say this the other day. He said, I heard people say they can't help who they fall in love with. And he said, you better help who you fall in love with. Because if you fall in love with the wrong person, they're going to ruin your life. And maybe if you die in that state, that's not good. God loves you. For everybody that's believing God for the right person, the right relationship to come into their life, he's got a right relationship with you. And for every right relationship for you, the devil has 20 wrong relationships that will lead you into the wrong way, bad experiences. I know many of you very well, and you're all in a better way than when I first met you. You're doing better. Don't give up. And God cares. He cares about your bills, your appliances, your cars, your transportation, your relationships. To everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Sometime God is saying it's not quite the time just yet. Can you live with that? Do you know? Do you know what God's saying to you? Because he'll speak to you. He never spoke to me because I'm a pastor. He spoke to me because I'm a believer. I believe. I started healing people when I was very young, God through me. Not because I was a God-called minister, but because I believed that if I laid hands on people and spoke the name of Jesus, he would do what he said he would do. And I found I was good enough for him where there's a multitude of people in the last 51 years I wasn't good enough for. And they tried everything to stop my family, my church, my ministry, and my life. Glory be to God, I'm still here. I'm still preaching. I'm still loving people. In fact, I'm loving people better. I understand more. It took me a long time to learn. I think I'm a slow learner. But God is so good. Taste of the Lord and see that he's good. Psalm 46:10, be still and know God. If you'll give yourself a part of every day. Maybe you're driving to Fort Smith and you can just turn the radio off and just listen. Just listen for his voice. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I get to abide in him will bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and he withers. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Give me some more of that. I think we're going to, I forgot which verse there. 16. So give me 7. Give me John 15 and 7. If you abide in me, now hear this, you guys. You've heard me say this a lot of times. This is just the way it works. Why? I don't know. I'm not God. And thank God I'm not, because I sure don't have as much patience and love and forgiveness as he does. But I'm learning I better get with the program and start loving people more and forgiving people. And I'm so proud of this bunch that comes. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask anything that you want and it will be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Okay, so shall you be my disciples. Now that reminds me of John chapter 8, verse 31, but stay here. Jesus said this, if you continue in my word, see, you can't continue in something if it's not inside of you. David said, your word have I hid in my heart, that I wouldn't make a mistake, that I wouldn't sin against you, that I wouldn't miss it. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you're my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Now, there isn't anybody in this room that cannot claim that verse. It's for everybody. He made us in one way. We're all the same. We're just humans that need very badly every day, need a Savior every day. That's what we need to be happy. Nothing else can replace that. You know, you can get everything you want, everything you pray for, and still be lost. I'll never forget many years ago when Freddie Prinze, Chico and the Man, committed suicide. I said, God, I didn't even understand that. How could a man have everything like that? So popular. Heath Ledger just killed themselves. I can't wrap my mind around that. But happiness does not come from fame or fortune. It comes from a daily fellowship. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be given unto you. And if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. There's something inside of us that we know there's got to be more. Something's wrong. I knew there was something wrong in my life because I was a rocker and I just partook of everything the world wanted to give me. And I just got a different result. I became suicidal. I became crazy. And only when I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you. I don't want to go another moment without you. And he... Did I get help? As the Father has loved me, verse 9, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Now, here's what happens. You've got to let this change you one day at a time. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, we think of all the do's and don'ts. I think of all the times God commands us to believe him, believe his promises, and believe that they're for you. Those promises are for everybody in this room, everybody outside that door. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Okay, give me the other verses up to verse 16, please. No, it's actually John chapter 15. And where we stop there until verse 16 is at the end. So we've got one more verse. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, you can only learn that one day at a time. You just learn how to love people. How? You can't learn something that you've never experienced. The Lord is saying to everybody in this room, let me love you. Just unconditionally, just let me love you and bless you. And see, then we learn how to love others. As we see, man, he's loved me. He didn't take my head off when I did that bad thing. He understood me and he was patient with me. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Every day, every Wednesday, I see people laying down their life and coming here and helping others that can never repay them. And the lines are getting longer and longer, and we still have never had to turn anybody away, have we, sis? We believe more is coming. We believe that the Manna Center is coming. Maybe this year, whenever it is, when it comes, we're gonna expand what we're doing. With God's help, we will always be in the food giveaway, helping people. Because from cover to cover in the Bible, what you see is God feeding people, God helping people. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And a lot of what he's talking about is, what I command you to do is believe me. Believe that my promises are for you, that I want to bless you. I want to enhance your life. I want to make your life more exciting and better. I can tell you in 51 years of serving the Lord that that's the way it's been for me. He's made my life better. If I could do all of these 51 years over again, I would do them just the way, only maybe sooner. I was 19 years old in the summer of 1971, and I found Christ. And I found my reason for living. Now, that doesn't work for everybody. I understand that. But I want you to know, if you want that, he'll give that to you just like he gave it to me and hundreds of thousands of others. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Give me John 15 and 16. It's the last verse that I need there. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth much fruit, that your fruit should remain. In other words, remain until the whole harvest season, until it grows. And I put a bunch of squash in a horse trough this year. And I ate a lot of squash. That fruit remained all the way till it put on a bud, put on a blossom, then put on fruit. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. Now, what kind of fruit is he trying to get? You have to understand this. This is all about trusting God. This is all about knowing God. The fruit that he's talking about here is that you'd have answered prayer, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. You have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to receive from the Father. And you don't want to get impatient with yourself or with the process, because the process will work for you like it's worked for everybody else. How many of you in here have ever felt the Lord in your life? You felt him. Yeah. Yeah. So you're on your way. So put up 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. I just want to get this across. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also walk as Jesus walked. Well, what does God want me to do? Well, you read the four Gospels, and if it's all about being like Jesus, you'll know a lot about Jesus. By the time you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll know about him. And then you just imitate that. In prayer, you say, God, help me to be able to walk as Jesus walked. Let me be your hand extended to this generation in life. Help me to be kind and generous. Help me to help people that nobody else cares about, because that's exactly what Jesus did. Nobody cared about Peter. Nobody cared about Zacchaeus. Nobody cared about the woman caught in the act of adultery. Nobody cared about him. But Jesus did. Jesus loves you. God doesn't make junk. David learned and spoke in the Psalms and said, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made in the image of God. And he's given me some hope. And this song, these words mean a lot. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Why seek ye, Mary and Martha, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's done rose up from here already. Go and tell his disciples. What was the message? Jesus is alive. You know what that message is today coming from this pulpit? I want you to know this. Jesus is alive. And he wants to help you. And nobody has as much power as him to help you. All right. He that saith he abideth in him should himself also so to walk even as he walked. Walk as Jesus walked. Just walk in a friendly manner. Just try to love people. You can't give away that what you don't have, but if you have something, Jesus said to Moses, Moses said, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't. He said, what do you have in your hand? He says, well, I've got this stick that I found out here and kind of whittled around on it and made it shepherd's stick. He said, throw it on the ground. It became one of the most powerful tools in the Old Testament. You have within you what God has given each one of you, the ability to help somebody else and to change somebody else's life. Let me have John chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, please. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Our generation doesn't have the wraps on that. That expression is from the Bible. That expression came right from the mouth of Jesus. You got to be born again. If you're born again, praise God, and you'll know it. And if you're not sure, if you want to, he will save you. Just say, God, save me. Make me born again. You must be born again. Now, listen here. The wind blows wherever it wants to, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it's coming from and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. last place tonight, Romans 8:14. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit, what that means, what it biblically means. For as many of you that are led by the Spirit of God, you are the children of God. When you're truly born again, you can't explain it. If you can explain the wind, I know Darby Bobby can't explain the wind. He does the best he can, but he can't explain it. The weather people do the best that they can, but these storms pop up whenever the heck they want to. Isn't that true? Ones that we never expected. That's the way it is. God has the ability to keep you from harm. How? He'll cause you to be led by the Holy Spirit. He'll cause you to be in the right place at the right time for opportunities. How? He'll cause you to be led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And you know, only you can ask that question. Only you can answer that question. Are you born again? Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Now we're going to go into open communion. It's open to everybody. We don't ever want to deny anybody. And on the other hand, you don't have to do anything in here that you don't want to. You do not have to take communion if you don't want to. And having said that, for those that want to take communion, I'm going to ask you to make an altar at your chair or come to this altar, examine your heart, because that's what the Bible says to do. And if there's something there that shouldn't be, confess it to the Lord, and he'll get it out of your life. And then we'll go forward.